Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome one and all to TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you will hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. This is TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show. Make sure to subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, or whatever weird random third party you use. Those are the main two. Don't be a hipster. Anyway, you can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. Subscribe there as well. Like every video. Smash the subscribe button, as all of us tend to have a lot of fun saying. I say all of us. My name is RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys, and I am joined, as I am always every single week, by Arrowhead Pride, Steven Serta, and Bleeding Green Nation's Brandon Lee Godden. BLG, you agree that anything outside of Apple or Spotify is weird?
Sure. Do you think people respond to you at the beginning of the podcast when they're like, "What is good, everyone?" Do you think they're like, "RJ, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking."
I don't know. It's not my line, to be very fair. That is an ode and an homage to the incredible Rob Stats Guerrera. So you should ask Stats if he's ever fielded a response for that. That's not my personal thing.
I will.
Steven, do you use Apple or Spotify, or are you one of them weirdos?
I use Apple Music and Apple Podcasts and things like that.
Yes.
Wow. That's the three BLG of us. And I,
as you're familiar, we created the NFC East mixtape, and then some frauds decided to do a similar thing around where we work. And every week we add a song to our playlist, the NFC East mixtape playlist. And when we first started, we were both like, okay, we're going to do it on Apple Music or Spotify. And we realized we both have Apple Music. We're in the minority here. And we didn't know that you're one of us. Way to go.
I've never had Spotify. Like, Apple Music was just the convenient thing to sign up for. So I signed up for it. And then, like, yeah, people send me Spotify stuff. I'm like, I don't have Spotify. Stop sending
people, people with iPhones, right? Yeah. Probably people with iPhones sending you that.
Yeah. Like, it's all connected with the Apple Music through my phone. Why would I get Spotify?
It's incredibly well said. Not an ad, but I have Apple One, and you get Apple TV, and you get Apple News. So like, it is, why would I, if I want all those things, why would I need Spotify? So good to know that we're the three wise men, as some people, this person is saying. It is the Friday, the first Friday of the new year in the NFL, the new league year. Free agency has now been going on for almost 4 days. I guess now it's 12:33 Eastern as we record this on Friday. BLG, Aaron Donald just retired. So we have to talk about that before we do any kind of winners and losers, which is what we are going to do. Your thoughts on the greatest defensive player of our lifetimes?
Pretty crazy. Just how, when you look historically at the defensive tackle position, and I kind of especially in tune with this with, just Jalen Carter and what he was doing with the Eagles. But having that context.
This can just be about Aaron Donald.
Well, just having that context in mind, like that made me kind of appreciate further just how special it is for a rookie to be able to produce. And to be clear, obviously Aaron Donald was even better, but that's the thing with him. My point being here, like, this isn't, oh, we had a little bit of a slow ramp up and then, then he really took off. I mean, no, he was great from day one. He was dominant. He never had a season really where like he fell off. I mean, okay, he only had 8 sacks in 2016. He only had 5 sacks in 2022, but like, okay. And that's also, when the Rams were coming off the Super Bowl and just had a down year. But even then, he was still a Pro Bowler that year. So a Pro Bowler every single year of his career, actually. First team All-Pro most of those seasons. Defensive Player of the Year, what, 4 times here?
Three.
Just an incredible, amazing player who just unprecedented success from day one.
Yeah, Aaron Donald is... one of the best players in NFL history, like not just defensive player, just like one of the best football players that we have ever seen. And I know his sack numbers were down the last couple of years, and he's been toying with retirement, like since they won the Super Bowl. But if you look at all of the underlying stuff, still says like, okay, this guy's still one of the most dominant players in the NFL. And I think he could still suit up and dominate offensive linemen tomorrow if he had to. Like, it's just a player who's accomplished so much in his career, and he was able to get a ring and be one of the best players of an entire generation. Like, we just probably aren't going to see a player quite the caliber of Aaron Donald again for a long time in the NFL because he was that special.
I would also offer that he is, in a weird way, one of the more important members in recent NFL history, in that if not for Aaron Donald, the Rams move to Los Angeles would be really flat. And the NFL, as we all know, tried really hard to sell, like, football's back in LA. Mm-hmm. And you can land a franchise quarterback and be in Los Angeles and still flounder. I think the Chargers are a great recent example of that. But without Aaron Donald, the Rams don't win that Super Bowl. Like, the, you know, who knows if SoFi Stadium gets the, you know, gas or whatever needed. I mean, I'm sure it does, but I think the point stands that, you know, Los Angeles is a market that the NFL has cared about for a long time and returning to, which is why they did now, what was it, 8 years ago? And that doesn't happen, or that doesn't evolve the way it does, if not for Aaron Donald and the career that he put together. A no-doubt Hall of Famer. Steven and I were talking because you were tardy to join us, BLG.
No, that's not true. We had a start time.
Well, you know,
you just wanted to start earlier then, and I was not there before the agreed-upon start time. So I was not late. I was on time.
Who is the closest non-JJ Watt defensive player to Aaron Donald in our lifetime? Because the closest is definitely JJ.
TJ Watt?
I threw out Von Miller. That would be the only other one I could think of.
Broncos legend DeMarcus Ware was pretty good.
I think that's it, because, like, right now you can make the case that Chris Jones is the best overall defensive tackle, but Chris Jones has never come close to defensive player of the year and, like, the accolades that Aaron Donald has.
Also, just that signature moment in the Super Bowl itself. It wasn't just like, oh, he's a really good player on the Super Bowl team. It's like, no, he had, like, the game-closing sack, essentially, and then pointed to his ring finger. Like, that's an epic moment to kind of throw in a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, and who knows? He may have stopped Joe Burrow and the Bengals from launching their own would-be dynasty. I mean, that's a larger what-if, but, like, they really did it. And he was, I think, the best person at what the Rams have done. Like, he was better at his job than anybody affiliated with that team. And that's, I know that we like to bag on Sean McVay, but not to bag on him or Kevin, you know, or Les Snead or I guess Jalen Ramsey or Matthew Stafford. Cooper Kupp maybe is the person who comes the closest. But, like, build a statue, like, outside of SoFi. Like, he's that caliber of player. It's kind of crazy. It's been 10 years since he was drafted.
He averaged more than a tackle for loss and 1.7 quarterback hits per game. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you just don't see that many players dominate that way. And he was dominant the entire time. Like, as soon as he came into the NFL, there was nothing you could do to stop him. Like, he just an incredibly special player.
I remember, I know we all obviously keep tabs on certain things, like, leading up to the draft. He was a target for the Cowboys, although at the time they hadn't drafted a defensive tackle in the first round in forever. Shout out Mozzie Smith, though, putting an end to that draft. Anyway, so the Cowboys took Zach Martin in that draft. That was the 2014 NFL draft. And they were, like, that Senior Bowl was, like, incredible. Like, just them going up against one another. And Aaron Donald remains one of the only people who's ever, like, humiliated Zach Martin, who's a Hall of Famer in his own right. But, I mean, even still, not even close to as great at his job as Aaron Donald was. That's just the kind of the gap that Aaron Donald put between himself and the field. So kudos to Aaron Donald. What do we think he does next? Prediction time. BLG, you go first. Assuming he does, like,
relaxes. Something
besides just, like, yeah, chilling in life.
I honestly don't know. Is he, I've not kept tabs on him wanting to do media. Is that, like, something he wants to do?
I mean, he's a pretty charming.
You seem to have an answer for this question. So why don't
I don't know. He's a pretty charming personality. He lives in LA, or, you know, at least has lived in LA for a long time. You know, I could see it. It makes sense. Like, the NFL media machine is never, you know, not going to turn down somebody like that. Like, I don't know that he'll go into broadcasting, but I mean, it feels like everybody gets, like, their own cast. Like, are we, we're going to get, like, an Aaron Donald cast where he breaks down, like, defensive lineman technique or something like that. Like, that I could totally see.
Or, like, on a panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he's going to kind of do what Gronk does now. And it's just like guest in studio host on NFL Sundays, like break things down, but not necessarily like a full time member of the media. Cause there's a lot of that now where it's just like go straight to hosting a podcast or being on TV and doing all this stuff. And I want to see more former NFL players just be like, no, I'm just not going to work anymore. Like, I don't need the money. I'm gonna relax and hang out and do whatever I want, and occasionally I'll jump on TV or something.
Well, where the Rams go from here will be very fascinating. Everybody check out Turf Show Times, our Los Angeles Rams community here at SB Nation, for more on the Aaron Donald story. But that takes us to what we were going to talk about, what we are going to talk about, winners and losers from free agency. Just going to kind of kick the can around, the proverbial can. Steven, you were the one who expressed the most concern, I guess, about the topic. So that you have the most options, I think you should get to go first. You can do win or lose. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go winners, and I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, wow. Surprising.
It's not like the Chiefs have been super active on the open market or anything like that, but I think them retaining the players that they have are the players that exactly like when the season wrapped, Super Bowl champions again, it was like, these are the answers you have to go out there and try to figure out. And these are the players that you got to retain. I think Drew Tranquil is going to be one that maybe goes overlooked for the most part, just based on your average NFL fan, but an incredibly important player to the Chiefs defense last season. Like when Nick Bolton went down, Tranquil just took over the play calling on the defensive side of the ball, and there was no drop off at all from the Chiefs defense. So, and bringing him back was massive. Also, Chris Jones, like we talked about, mentioned him in the Aaron Donald discussion. Like what Chris Jones has done for this Chiefs team in the postseason, especially, is something that you can't even really put an amount of money on. And so whether or not he's going to be like a 15 sack a year guy going into his age 30 season or something like that, I don't even think that's what matters for the Chiefs at this point. It's get to the playoffs and dominate with your stars. And that's what they've continued to do. So I am on board with Chris Jones getting this massive extension. I think it was absolutely key. And then Hollywood Brown fills a position of need for the Kansas City Chiefs that they haven't had since Tyreek Hill. Like the Chiefs all of a sudden, again, for the first time since they traded Tyreek, have a field stretcher, have a guy that can win one-on-one down the field, that can take the top off of the defense. And so they spent the last 2 years basically changing their offense to fit the personnel that they had. And so you saw a lot more long, drawn out drives, Patrick Mahomes just kind of picking defenses apart. Well, it was because they couldn't throw the ball deep. They just didn't have anybody to do that. Hollywood Brown gives them that option. So it opens things back up. And so now the Chiefs can play in more ways than one. Whereas the last couple of years, it wasn't even an option for them. It was, we got to just try to dissect you down the field and carve you up that way because we don't have anybody that can take the top off the defense. So, and we'll see what they do with L'Jarius Sneed. They could still trade him. I'd like to see them just play him on the franchise tag and run it back with that secondary. But I think overall right now, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you should feel really good about the moves that they've made. And we haven't even gotten to the NFL draft yet.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with Sneed. That's obviously a big shoe to drop, depending what happens there. Getting Chris Jones back, huge. Drew Tranquil back, big. I like the Hollywood edition a lot, in part because I know he's coming off a down year in 2023, his least productive season in terms of receiving yards and whatnot. But I think there is a level of just being checked out with on a really bad Cardinals team. And I think going to the Chiefs is going to spark him a little bit, and he'll be a better version of himself in that offense. And I know, Steven, you talked about, you know, ability to take the top off, obviously, as a vertical threat. But, you know, I've seen him do plenty of damage too, run after the catch. And if the Chiefs are going to play that small ball game, he's also going to be a big factor there, in addition to Rashee Rice. So yeah, I think the Chiefs are shockingly doing well yet again.
What is really refreshing about the Chiefs, and we obviously haven't had the opportunity for anyone to go for three in a row in 20 years or whatever it's been. It's really cool to see them not rest on their laurels to say like, we have the chance, like, let's do it. Like we might as like, let's try to do something. Let's try to, we're already putting ourselves like so far and so away from everyone else. Like, let's do something that is completely and totally ours. I really, you know, am such a fan of getting the Chris Jones thing done. Did they overpay? Who cares? Like, nobody will be mad that they overpaid if they win the Super Bowl again. And I think that they handled it the right way by taking care of one of their own and tagging Snead. No disrespect, obviously, to Snead, obviously, except on behalf of Deron Bland, who deserved to be an All-Pro. Sorry, Steven. But anyway, and the Hollywood Brown thing is, like, can you not just, like, see him having, like, a cool 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns and then, you know, getting the bag in free agency next year and then generating a comp pick for the Chiefs in 2026. Like, it's like there will be somebody that, like, falls for it next year. And it's just, it's really, I respect it. I'm glad the Chiefs are not a franchise that I don't like. It would be really annoying if this was like the Eagles or whatever, or the Packers even, like, but this is, it's just, it's their world. And so it's frustrating to see them take advantage of it. Although it is nice to see the Hunt family catching heat for trying to get the taxpayers to pay for the new stadium. That's the only bad vibe going on with Kansas City right now.
Yeah, I don't want to get into all that. there's a lot of debate about it right now amongst the people of Kansas City.
Okay, BLG, winner, loser, whatever.
I think
you
should go because you set up a perfect transition there with teams resting on their laurels.
I was going to wait to touch on the Cowboys, but if you want, we can do it now. I mean, what a great SB Nation NFL show. Steven brings up the Chiefs. RJ brings up the Cowboys. So, but I guess, like, man, I am as down bad as I've ever been. Like, certainly since I've known y'all.
You got Eric Hendricks. What are you talking about?
Certainly since I've had this job, like, in my lifetime of being a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I've said the same thing in so many different ways, you know, this week and all offseason. It is unbelievable. For the second year in a 3-year stretch, they were the last team in the NFL to sign an external free agent. It was Eric Hendricks, who you mentioned. They hadn't signed anybody when Brandon and I recorded the mixtape. Granted, that was Tuesday in the middle of the legal tampering period. They have brought back some of their own, all on 1-year deals. They have not gotten any extensions done, which is the thing that they're like, oh, the reason we're not, you know, partaking in free agency is because we want to bring back our own, which is such a load of crap because Dak is still waiting on his extension. CeeDee's still waiting on his extension. Micah's now eligible for an extension. And the Cowboys act like they're this, like, you know, elite front office at negotiating extensions. Brandon, you certainly have kept tabs on this a lot. Not that you have to the same degree, Steven, maybe you have, but, like, they're really bad at these extensions. They always let these drag on and drag on and drag on. And they think that they're, you know, like, manipulating the player and convincing them to take less to play for the Cowboys. And they always have to overpay whoever it is. DeMarcus Lawrence is overpaid. Dak Prescott is going to be overpaid if they get this done. CeeDee Lamb, if they had overwhelmed him with an extension offer last year and he had taken it, well, guess what? He literally turned in the greatest statistical season that any receiver has ever had in franchise history. They now are in a race to beat Justin Jefferson and the Vikings and Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals. So, I mean, I'm not going to give them any credit for that. And there are some, I do think it's the significant minority, but you know how fan bases are. Some Cowboys fans who are in the middle of the cope, like, oh no, trust this front office. Like, they draft super well. Their draft class last year was horrible. Like, their 2022 draft class, while it did yield Tyler Smith and Deron Bland, their second round pick, Sam Williams, is a player who they can't trust. Their third round pick was Jalen Tolbert, who is a receiver they can't trust to keep, you know, replace Michael Gallup. They still haven't even cut Michael Gallup, which is kind of a scummy thing to do because now all these other teams are filling up their rosters with different wide receivers and he can't even go get a job in a proper sense. So, like, I think the most frustrating thing about it is I could square if they were like, you know what, it is going to be just this tank year. McCarthy's on the final year of his contract. Zimmer's on a 1-year deal. Dak's on the final year. We're just going to fully reset. But, like, they're doing nothing to set themselves up well. They have no, it's not like all of their directives and energy is pointed in the same direction. And if it were a direction I disagreed with, I could, again, square it if it was all in the name of one thing, but they're not moving in any direction. They're just treading water. They're floating. And it's really, I was telling Steven before you got here, Brandon, again, as you relate, this is the most upset that I've ever seen Dallas Cowboys fans be. They are so fed up. And Steven Jones spoke on Thursday, and I can't believe he somehow, some way found a way to make it worse. He literally said, I don't know if either of you saw this, and I'll end my diatribe here. You know, I mentioned comp picks. They're so precious to the Cowboys. He mentioned how he was certain that at some point later this offseason, other NFL teams, as they set their cap and they set their roster, they're going to cut some players and that they're ready and anxious to jump on those opportunities. Why? Because they don't impact the comp form. Like, imagine not only publicly, like, being willing to publicly say that your strategy is to wait for other teams to cut the players they don't want, but to brag about it, to be like, trust us, because look at what we're going to do. So that's
what I, you know, what's the solution to all of our problems? The players that other teams don't want. there's a couple of things here I wanted to say. Number one, even if your point about the Cowboys drafting well, you're like, they didn't even draft well last year.
Not my point, their point.
Well, I'm just saying, like, even if they did, let's just say they do for a second, it's not mutually exclusive. You can also draft well and make reasonable free agent signings. You don't have to go crazy in free agency, but you can do more than literally nothing at all, which the Cowboys are doing. Honestly, it's just the juxtaposition of a team that is branded as America's team and like the big team is operating like, I'm going to switch sports here, like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, who are like a small market team, you know, these small market teams in baseball who don't have the financial resources that the teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Phillies and so on and the Dodgers do, those huge payrolls that they have. So they kind of have to make moves like the Cowboys did last year when it came to trading for Brandon Cooks and trading for Stephon Gilmore. Like for a team like, you know, like you said, the Rays, a small market team in baseball, those are the kind of moves that make a lot of sense. And those are like really savvy moves and you're operating within the budget. But the Cowboys don't, that's not the situation. They're putting this restriction on themselves. They're like, they're playing franchise mode on like extra hard difficulty for no really good reason. And also like playing it with a blindfold over their eyes and like making sure some of the buttons on the controller don't work. Like it's just, it's very unnecessary that they're putting themselves in this spot, especially when you look in the context of the division too. Obviously this is more relevant to the NFC East mixtape, but like look at what the other teams in your division are doing, and meanwhile you're just sitting here on your hands. And I know the offseason isn't over and there's a lot of time left, but it just feels hard to feel like you're coming off this extremely disappointing playoff loss and the best course of action is to do literally nothing.
It's unreal that they've continued to handcuff themselves as an organization year after year with contract debates, like with, oh, should we give Dak Prescott more money? Why is CeeDee Lamb playing on a fifth-year option? What has he not proven in the NFL to show you that he is a superstar caliber player? And like, felt like they just did that year after year with like, where they waited too long on like Tyron Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence. And then like they waited so long that like they weren't building around them. And then like those guys kind of age out now. And it's like, you're just treading water at this point. Like it'd almost be more exciting to go through a total rebuild, because if you don't think any of these players are good enough to get you where you want to go, which should be a Super Bowl, even though it doesn't seem like it is, then blow it up and start over and figure something else out. That'd be more exciting than doing what they're doing, just continuing to run it back with Mike McCarthy year after year and Dak Prescott and just hoping that you hit on these guys in the draft. Like at some point you have to actually commit to wanting to win, and it just doesn't feel like they're interested in doing that.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're not committed to anything right now. They're just aimlessly wandering. And that's why I'm saying it's really difficult to diffuse the idea that all they care about is just being relevant and being America's team and making money. Steven Jones, have you heard from Howie Roseman or Brett Veach at all this week? Have either of you have they made public comments at all this week?
No.
Right? No. Well, Steven Jones spoke on Thursday. Do either of you know why? Like, what would be your guess? Like a radio hit or something like that?
I would assume it's like a weekly thing that he does.
Well, he does do a weekly thing during the season. This was an exception. He was at AT&T Stadium, the house where the Dallas Cowboys play football, for a promotional event for PBR. I don't know actually what it stands for, but the, like the Pro Bull Racing, I think might be what it stands for.
Oh, not the beer?
No. So he was
professional like, bull riding or something.
Yeah, like thank that. You. So like he was like, with a horse and a bull literally yesterday afternoon. They had him and I don't know who the like dignitaries were. They had these like matching denim jackets and he was doing his like media session in this like ridiculous denim outfit. It was really, really, really surreal. And he mentioned, you know, with our cap situation, dude, bruh, the NFL salary cap literally experienced the largest year to year jump ever in the history of the cap. So to act like you are just up against it, and there are people who buy this, who believe this, then they'll tweet at me and be like, they can't do anything, they don't have the cap space. Even if they were whatever on Dak, even if they still doubted CD, to your point, Steven, they could restructure Trayvon Diggs, the deal they just handed out last year. They could restructure Terrence Steele, another deal they handed out last year. They could very easily create salary cap space, but they're not. And it almost feels spiteful at this point. It almost feels like, oh, you want to hold us to the all-in claim that Jerry made? Oh, watch this. Like, this is the most apathetic, incompetent behavior I've ever seen from them, which I feel like is really saying something.
All right.
Yeah.
They were losers, if that wasn't obvious. Like, I don't know.
It feels like they're more interested in Cowboy Stadium being a convention center, the biggest place where you win football games.
By the way, it's not Cowboy Stadium anymore. Please don't get that wrong. They'll get really upset. It used to be Cowboy Stadium, and then they sold the naming rights. They were so wealthy and are so wealthy that they were able to survive the the economic downfall of 2008, and they named it Cowboy Stadium until the economy stabilized, and then they could sell it to AT&T Stadium. So, you know, that was a really hard thing for them. You know, hope you both feel bad. Hey, BLG, give us your stupid team.
My stupid team.
Yeah, that's I don't actually, care. But this that's is a really all
good. That's a really good way to put it, because I think it's very stupid that the Atlanta Falcons, who are my losers, decided to sign Kirk Cousins. Look, I know this improved their situation.
They're my winner.
Why? What are they going to win? What are they going to win? The NFC South? Okay, congrats. Then what are they going to win after that?
That is the worst argument. So, like,
what are they going to win?
What should they have done? Been like, oh, we suck. We shouldn't sign anybody. You're killing the Cowboys for that.
They should try to win the Super Bowl. And when you're signing Kirk Cousins to that contract, you're not trying to win the Super Bowl. You're just trying to win games so that you don't feel as embarrassed as you've been for the past so many years with Desmond Ridder, who is terrible. And I was the only one bold enough to say that. And by the way, like, people like wanting to trade anything for him. Why would anyone trade anything for him? Anyway, this is a race out to the middle kind of move. Does it make them better in the short term? Absolutely. Of course. What's the point of that? There's no long-term play here. There's no path to Super Bowl contention when Kirk Cousins is your quarterback. I know you live in a delusional headspace where you think that's not true. Look at the results. Okay, one playoff game. And then what you always like to point out, the one playoff game against the Saints, what happened the very next week? They got destroyed by the 49ers. It wasn't even a competitive game. That's your ceiling with Kirk Cousins. They're losers. They're short-term winners and long-term losers.
I'm kind of with BLG on this.
Oh, my gosh, Steven.
It's wow. So, yes, I like adding Kirk Cousins here, assuming that he's the same player. It's just that at his age, coming off the Achilles injury.
That's the other thing. Like, I didn't even touch on that. Yeah.
It's like I'm worried about that, because like we've seen how quick these quarterbacks can decline. Like, remember a couple of years ago where everybody except for RJ was trying to talk themselves into Matt Ryan in Indianapolis.
Thank you for the credit for that, at least.
And like,
he's 36. Yeah,
like that's a big deal. Like, Kirk Cousins is old. Like, yes, the idea of him being fully healthy in Atlanta with all of those weapons is really fun and entertaining, and I hope it is an incredible offense and the Falcons all of a sudden are this like contending team, because I think it would be really fun next year. I just am worried about it because I don't know what you're actually getting in Kirk Cousins to actually give up that kind of money for him at this age, and what it's going to, and what's going to happen if, what if that totally blows up in your face? What if you wind up just being next year's New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers, and you were just stuck with that dude now and for the foreseeable future, because you put everything around him to try to win in this 1 or 2 year window. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just, it's really risky team building by the Falcons if it doesn't work out with Kirk Cousins. And also, you need these guys that we've projected to be superstars in the NFL, haven't really done it yet. And I do agree that like those circumstances have been god awful for Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Like, we've seen the talent that those guys possess. We've seen that. But you need them to actually play like they are legitimate superstars, and you need Kirk Cousins to at least be functional. Like, that's a lot of variables you need to happen in this 1 or 2 year window to hope to actually win something. And I just don't feel like it's great team building going all in with this kind of quarterback, as opposed to like what the Rams did with Matthew Stafford and everything else that they already had in place. Like, it's a massive risk. If it pays off, it could be really fun for the NFL, or it could totally blow up in the Falcons' face.
So, as our friends at the Falcoholic noted, and as many have, it's effectively a 2-year deal. So you're betting on Cousins for, you know, in a serious sense in 24 and 25. Obviously, you know, the injuries are concerned. Like, that's obvious. That goes without saying. And to be clear, do any of us think that the Falcons are Super Bowl favorites? No. But did they immediately become NFC South favorites? Yes. What happens if you get to the playoffs? I don't know. Like, I'm agreeing with you that, like, you know, their ceiling is probably to win the NFC South. Do either of you know the last time they won the NFC South off the top of your heads?
The 18 season or 17?
Steven, do you have a guess?
Well, last time they went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the season they went to the Super Bowl probably.
16?
It was 16. And yeah. They did, they were a wild card team in 17. And gotcha. they beat the Rams, a game that I feel like they never got credit for.
And then the Eagles beat them.
And then they lost to the Eagles at the very end of the game. But and the last time they won the NFC South was 2016. And like the NFC South has sucked in that entire time. So like they've been in like the wilderness here. Now they have the 8th overall pick, and that's probably out of range to, you know, do some serious like striking here. And even then, that's a bit of a crapshoot. So you do have to like mortgage something if you want to go that route, especially in the aftermath. And we can get to it in a moment, I suppose, of what the Minnesota Vikings did on Friday morning. But so I am fine with this. Like, they immediately did become NFC South favorites, according to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. And they've got the cast around Kirk to work with, like, conceivably. They've got Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts. And Kirk doesn't have to come in and do everything. They have Bijan Robinson, right? Like, again,
Who did what as a rookie?
What did he have to work with? I mean, like, I think Steven would agree that, like, Bijan's prospects are a lot higher with Kirk Cousins quarterback in the offense than Desmond Ridder. Is that fair, Steven?
Yes. I'm still very high on Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, like, I mean, they will probably win the NFC South. I think even you would agree with that, Brandon. And again,
I don't know. That's a lock.
I mean, I would bet on them right now. Like, we're not taking the Panthers. We're definitely not taking Derek Carr and the Saints. We might take the Bucks.
I might take the Bucks to do it.
Sure. Okay, fine. But you're going for it in a year where, like, I in the past have killed the Cowboys for, like, the year of 2017. I wrote something, I remember, at Blog on the Voice, because Carson Wentz had gotten hurt. Odell Beckham Jr. was hurt. You know, you have all these things, and it's like, how can you not capitalize on your division when it is so weak? People killed the Patriots and killed the Chiefs even. Oh, your division sucks, blah, blah. Who cares if my division sucks? If I have an easy path to the playoffs, I'm going to totally, you know, squeeze every last drop out of this opportunity and potential that I have. And the Falcons are trying in that sense. I respect that they went for it. I, you know, it's never perfect circumstances, but I'm excited for Kirk and the Falcons. Y'all will rue the day that you died.
I'm sure we haven't seen the best of him.
Wow. He was incredible last year. Again, prior to the injury, but he was really, really, and it's fair to doubt, but what's the better alternative that the Falcons should have taken this year?
I just think more of a long-term picture.
What is that?
I mean, that you're not committed. You don't have to commit to something. You don't have to make a move.
It's 2 years that they're seriously committed to.
Yeah, and I think it's a bad 2 years that could set them back further after that. But whatever,
who is ever set back anymore by anything ever?
I mean, like, I just think you could be making progress that they're not going to be making is the point. There's opportunity cost.
I do feel like in Atlanta, too, there's been some pressure because, like, running it back last season with Arthur Smith, which everyone knew was a terrible idea, like, it was just a totally wasted season. I do feel like there's a little bit of pressure now, too, because you have this window where you've got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Like, you have these guys who are on these rookie deals that there's no way in 4 years all of those guys aren't going to be on the Falcons. Like, they're just going to be too expensive and they're going to command too much money in all likelihood. So it does feel like them pushing all their chips in, which I don't ever have an issue with. Go for it. But it's really risky and could totally blow up in your face.
Quickly, I mentioned this. The Minnesota Vikings and Houston Texans executed a trade on Friday morning. The Vikings traded for the Texans first round pick that was not their own. Obviously, the Cardinals own that. It was 27, but it was the 24th overall pick, which the Texans got in the Deshaun Watson trade. I didn't really understand this from Houston's perspective. They basically picked up a second this year and a second next year and some pocket change. But the Vikings, Steven, are clearly loading up to go up to wherever it's going to be. To get the quarterback that they want, whether that's with Arizona at 4 or the Chargers at 5, if, you know, Arizona's married to Marvin Harrison Jr., we think it might be J.J. McCarthy, maybe. I don't know. But, Steven, your thoughts on the Vikings and Texans sides of this?
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings, it feels like they're just committed now to, like, we gotta reset. We gotta have a little bit of a rebuild here. And what that means for Justin Jefferson, I don't know. Like, they still have some young talent on that team that I think they can build around. If they wind up moving Justin Jefferson or something like that, I don't think that's a player you should move because of how special he has been through his first three NFL seasons. But we'll see where they go. And yeah, it does feel like maybe they're in the hunt for a quarterback now in the draft, because it's who's the quarterback on the roster right now? Sam Darnold. Like, that's tough. I guess that can be a stopgap for half a season if you go up and you get one of these rookies or something like that. So it's more ammunition. And I don't mind the Texans moving back in the draft and picking up an extra second round pick next year, because I really like what the Texans have done in free agency overall. I really like what they're building and what D'Amico Ryans is trying to do on the defense there. So I think them moving back to acquire draft capital after making some significant moves on the open market is actually a win for Houston.
It's been compared to, although not identical, to the Eagles moving up twice in 2016, where they first, I think, went from like 12 to 8, and then ultimately, you know, went from 8 to 2 to get Carson Wentz, which worked out wonderfully, ultimately won a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think the Vikings, they have to do something. The Sam Darnold thing, I mean, come on, man. I know I'm sitting here saying, like, don't commit to Kirk Cousins, but at the same time, like, I don't know, why not take a shot on, let's say, like, Tyler Huntley? Like, someone who hasn't had an extensive starting opportunity. Like, this idea, I've seen some sentiment out there that, like, Darnold could be Baker Mayfield was last year. Do we not remember Sam Darnold on the Panthers? I know Baker Mayfield also played on the Panthers, but, like, Darnold already had that chance. And I know Matt Rhule sucked, and that certainly didn't help him, whatever, but there's not intrigue. There's not untapped potential there. There's nothing we haven't seen that you need to get more of. I know it's only a one-year deal, so it's not the biggest deal in the world, but if you're a Vikings fan, like, it's a pretty tough feeling right now. So the hope is that they do find a way to somehow acquire a quarterback and get some kind of hope for the future.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
I have another loser, if y'all are fine with that.
Sure.
I guess I'll just offer the losers today. I mean, yeah, whatever.
I was gonna pick a loser for my next one.
You're an expert in that category.
except for choosing teams to win the World Series, you know, as evidenced by the cap that you're wearing. Because
no one respects this. Your Cowboys fans don't respect this because they know you're a bandwagon Astros fan.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I really liked what the Texans did in free agency up until the Joe Mixon deal. That was a little like, what are you doing? And I don't love the trade with Minnesota for Houston, but those are minimal things as far as the overall of what Houston's done. So they've improved upon a really great season, obviously. The Colts have really kind of gone at this. I'm really happy to see what they're doing. They're finally, you know, respectable once again. Kudos to them. The Titans is a little bit of an overpay, obviously, for Calvin Ridley. But again, if you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, you're allowed to overpay to a certain degree. Now, the Titans aren't as big of a quote-unquote winner in my book as Houston and Indianapolis, but that's a different thing. Jacksonville let Calvin Ridley walk. So what'd you trade him for? Or trade for him for in that respect? They traded for Mac Jones, obviously. Why? Like, why give up capital? Like, why not just sign Tyler Huntley or whatever? I mean, you know, like, what is the point in Mac Jones? Who's fifth-year option you have to decide whether or not to pick up? And we know you're not picking it up, so you're going to let him walk and just burn that pick? That doesn't make any sense. The Jaguars have two picks in the top 100. Granted, they do have their second-round pick because of the Calvin Ridley thing. It just feels like the Jaguars let every other team in the AFC South either pass them, but at the very least narrow the gap that they had between them. Like the Texans, I think, are clearly ahead of them, but the Titans and the Colts definitely narrowed the gap. And I would offer that maybe the Colts, and this is obviously dependent on Anthony Richardson, have now officially passed them. So it's been a tough, you know, kind of week for the Jaguars, BLG.
It is, I know, different GMs and whatnot, but it is weird that the Titans organization seemingly would sign off on like not wanting to pay AJ Brown, but then they're fine.
This is about the Jaguars, not the Titans.
Isn't it crazy though that they do that? And then they're willing to give this money?
This doesn't have to be about the Eagles. You couldn't let Aaron Donald have a moment. Just, you know.
How old is Calvin Ridley, RJ?
29.
He'll be 30 this season. That's crazy. Yeah, like that's insane. Like that's wild that you're like not willing. AJ Brown's still like 25 or something. It's just like I don't really. I know again, different front offices, but that organization, I just don't really trust.
Okay, but what the Texans and Colts have done is impressive relative to the Jaguars. And the what have the Jaguars done? They signed Gabe Davis. You know what I mean? Like, on the other hand,
the Jags have it. I'm not sitting here defending the Jags. I'm just saying the Titans. I don't really feel great about them as a tangent. But yeah, the Jags have had a weird offseason in general. Like I know defense was an issue for them last year. So they tried to, retool that side of the ball, but there was offensive issues there too. And they kept, you know, obviously Doug Peterson at the top and his offensive structure largely in place. So not a lot of personnel or not a lot of changes on the coaching side. And then like your solution is, okay, we're going to get Gabe Davis. Like that's going to be, and although we're losing Calvin Ridley, like what progress are they really making here? Like I'm looking at their free agency moves and I just don't see anything that's incredibly, I mean, it's great that you keep Josh Allen, but I don't really see anything needle moving here for this team.
Yeah. The Jaguars are actually going to be my loser too. I think it's absolutely hilarious that they were like, oh, we're bringing Calvin Ridley back. We just got to wait until this deadline passes because we don't want to give up a second round pick. And then Tennessee just swooped in, made an offer that Jacksonville was never going to get close to in all likelihood. And Calvin Ridley was just like, well, give me that much money and I'll come back to Jacksonville. And so they essentially screwed themselves over, which again, this goes back to Trent Baalke and just poor general managing in general, where you made this deal for Calvin Ridley. It didn't quite work out. And so then on the back end of it, you're kind of trying to be a cheapskate and like make sure that you don't have to give up the maximum amount of money for that, but still try to bring the player back in that scenario. Like it's bad management from their front office and really just their roster construction around Trevor Lawrence has been awful. And there's no way you can look at Jacksonville right now and say that they're better than they were going into last season. And last season was the expectation year. Like last season was the year that you were supposed to take this huge step forward. You made the playoffs before, had a come from behind victory. Like you're supposed to build on that and supposed to be really competitive. And at no point during last season did you ever look at Jacksonville and you were like, they're really competitive. Like I know they had a good record midway through the season. I think it was like that stretch where they played the Ravens and the Ravens just absolutely like dominated them. Like, but if you were watching Jacksonville closely, you could see before that, like they're not in the same ballpark as some of these other teams in the AFC. And it's just because they just didn't have as much talent. And it felt like that playoff win like convince them like we've got enough here. And so they kind of pushed all in last season to do that. And then they don't even make the postseason. And now they're kind of stuck with a bad general manager who's making bad decisions and not building around their young quarterback. And it just feels like Jacksonville was optimistic last season. And now I don't see how you can feel that way about them moving forward because they haven't gotten any better and it doesn't feel like they're any closer to competing in the AFC.
I think it's always a wise move when you can give your young quarterback, like early years quarterback, a star wide receiver to kind of lean on, like to AJ Brown for Jalen Hurts or what Stephon Diggs was for Josh Allen, just as random examples. What Allen Robinson was supposed to be for Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, although Tyreek Hill was there, right? He predates Mahomes, but still,
I mean, for Tua.
Oh, yeah, good point. Sorry. So, like, who is that for Trevor Lawrence now? Is it Christian Kirk?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Gabe Davis.
But that's what I'm saying. No, but Trevor Lawrence is entering year four. You know what I'm saying? And they have to, are they going to give him they should give him a contract extension now. But he doesn't have that. Is it Evan Ingram? You know what I mean? Like, you know, whatever. Like, it's a weird, you're really now hindering his development. Like, everybody's, you talked about it, Stephen, earlier, bagging on the Chargers for how they've, you know, hindered Justin Herbert in that sense. Like, the Jaguars are doing the same thing. Do either of you know? So Calvin Ridley, they traded for him in November of 2022. So they sat on that and they had to wait forever, obviously, for him to just play. He played all 17 games last year. They missed the playoffs. How many games do y'all think he topped 100 yards?
Six.
Two.
Steven. Four. So four times he went over 100 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, that's a dumb way to do it. Like, look at it this way. He had multiple touchdowns twice. Once was against Tennessee in a win, and the other time was against Tampa in a loss. I mean, so, like, what was it? And then you gave up a third round pick for him. You know, like, when you're not doing anything notable in free agency, like, it just feels like they're wandering in their own wilderness right now. It's kind of hard to figure what the Jaguars are doing. So tough scene for them. Steven, you were going to go with the Jaguars. So who are you going to go with now?
I'm going to pick another loser, and I don't think this is really a surprise, but it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, wow. Could not disagree more.
So you, this is Steven's topic. Let's go, Steven.
I know. I'm waiting for him.
So, yeah, maybe Russell Wilson is an upgrade. And in all likelihood, he probably is going to be an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, because I think Kenny Pickett is genuinely that bad. Like, they should be looking to move on from that, and that can't be what you do moving forward. But I've talked about this a lot with the Steelers. Like, if you're a Steelers fan, it just feels really tough right now to feel good about the direction you're headed in. Like, you bring in Arthur Smith, which is an offensive coordinator that feels stuck in the past, and nobody feels confident is going to, like, get the most out of the players that you have, which has been a huge issue for you for several years now with Matt Canada. Like, you had talented players on offense that you weren't getting a lot out of. You had poor quarterback play, and you're just hoping that your defense will get you by and win you football games and keep you above 500, which, you know, they've managed to do, because I still think Tomlin is a good head coach. It just feels like the Steelers, kind of similar to Jacksonville right now, are just kind of roaming around, not really going anywhere, not really improving. And then you talk about, like, the trading Deontay Johnson, which is fine. I think Deontay Johnson's a fine player, but I think it kind of felt like, you know, they weren't always on the same page. Kind of felt like he was unhappy in Pittsburgh at this stage in his career, which that's fine. But you do it for Dante Jackson, who doesn't really, it's not like he's changing your secondary the way adding, like, a superstar cornerback or something, which Legarius Sneed's still out there. Chiefs looking to trade him, and he was available, and you decided to move Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson, basically. Like, I just don't think it's a great move. Patrick Queen's a fine player. Like, there's just nothing here that makes me feel like Pittsburgh is going to compete in that division, the toughest division in football in the AFC, with the Browns, the Bengals, the Ravens. Like, I just don't see that Pittsburgh has actually gotten any better. It just feels like they're running it back again. This time it's going to be with Russell Wilson instead of Kenny Pickett. It's going to be the exact same thing that we've seen from Pittsburgh over the last, like, 5 years.
I do agree with that part. It is going to be the same thing generally, in terms of they're going to grit and grind it out and inexplicably win games, even though they're getting outgained and they lose the turnover differential. But I'm in on Russ, baby. And is that a bit, to some extent? Of course it is, because he's been my guy for all time. And I'm not letting I'm taking the Broncos era and blaming that not all on Denver. Obviously, Russ is a part of that. But still, there was also a lot of Denver to blame. And I just think Russ is such a Steeler, man. And I think maybe this is nothing. I sent RJ that video of him signing today. He honestly, tell me, he doesn't look more rejuvenated. Looking back at some of his old Broncos country, let's ride stuff, that felt forced. That did not feel as legitimately happy. And I'm sure Russ is happy. Look how things ended in Denver with Sean Payton ultimately throwing him under the bus. I'm sure he's excited and happy to get to a new team. I think he's re-energized. What's the line, RJ? Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, well, that's their hashtag, the Steelers hashtag on the internet. but that's also Dak Prescott's thing. So I think the Steelers are a winner, Steven, in that the Russ thing costed them pennies. Now, I think it's a bit hypocritical to be pro Steelers and anti Falcons, BLG. However, the contracts are obviously a factor. Well, I mean, because they're it's the same situation. It's the same, like, taking a chance,
no,
trying to be different.
No, it's not the same situation.
The Steelers have been wandering in the wilderness forever.
Has Russell Wilson won multiple playoff games?
So we're going to put all the credit for that on Russell Wilson now. You don't want to put all the blame on his shoulders, but you're going to give him all the credit for what he did in Seattle.
I'm not saying it's all the credit, but he can win big playoff games. I've seen him do it. I've seen him win a lot more big games than Kirk Cousins.
So you'd rather have Russell Wilson today than Kirk Cousins? You want to go on?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, I love Russ, to be very clear, but fine. Like, I, you know, think that that's a little bit silly.
If you like stats, Kirk Cousins is for you. It's empty, meaningless stats against bad teams.
I think this is a big miss on your part, Steven, but, you know, I think we talked about it last week. It would be so funny if they finally fell below 500 and this was, like, it was the Russ season. So, We'd all remember that in its own special way. But yeah, he is so back. Like he's going to be going to Pirates games and and Penguins games, and I guarantee you he's going to share something on social media about one of the Pitt players, and you know what, it's going to be.
He's going to get a Primanti's sandwich, and he's going to have his own sandwich. They're going to make his own sandwich.
I've watched a lot of Russell Wilson in the AFC West the last couple of years. It is not fun. And the situation hasn't been great. He is not a fun player to watch anymore.
BLG, let's wrap this up and then we'll do one blitz round. So one, your last meaty one.
Well, I guess people want to hear me talk about the Eagles. So why don't we just talk about the Eagles?
To be clear, we're going to have each brought up the teams that we cover.
Yeah, I mean, like, people who listen to this ostensibly want us to, you know, they listen to us in part because we cover these teams.
To be clear, I didn't do this. Y'all are the narcissists here, not me. But go ahead, Brandon.
Well, I think it's relevant. It's not like the Eagles or Chiefs or Cowboys were just, like, irrelevant and free. I mean, the Cowboys relevant from literally doing nothing. But that's a story in and of itself. It's not like they did, like, a couple things that are just totally forgettable. Eagles have had an interesting free agency. I guess I lean winner over loser, but like it doesn't feel slam dunk A+ winner to me. It does feel like, especially too, because things not totally in their control in terms of Fletcher Cox retiring, Jason Kelce retiring. Those are two massive losses. But I mean, it is what it is, and the Eagles can only decide from there how to try to fill those departures. And I think I like the Bryce Huff bet. He is not proven. It is a projection. But this is a guy who is one of the very best in the NFL at generating pressure. So I like the bet on him that he could potentially take a bigger role as a starter. The Saquon thing is uncharacteristic, and I don't love, in general, paying big resources at the running back position. If you're going to make an exception, if you're going to say, okay, Eagles offense had trouble at the end of last year, how do we get it better? What was one of the only things you really could like realistically do in free agency? It was probably sign Saquon Barkley. So I think they've taken some swings here that really, I think there's kind of a bigger theme developing with the 2024 Eagles, and that I think it's going to be a really boom or bust team. And obviously a lot of teams, you know, I guess you could say are like that. Yeah, they're going to be good or they're not. But I think this is to an especially big degree. I think they're going to be like really good again in 2024, similar to what they were a little bit, not quite that level in 2022, or this is all just going to blow up, and Saquon's going to look like the next DeMarco Murray, and Bryce Huff's not even going to be able to be starting or get on the field, and Nick Sirianni is going to be fired, and so I think it really goes one of two ways, and not somewhere in the middle.
I like what the Eagles have done, kind of what BLG said, but it does kind of feel like it's an overcorrection based off of what happened last season, where it's like, these are the position groups as Philadelphia Eagles we have never really put a lot of resource into and have always kind of put together. And now it's like, we're bringing in Devin White. We're bringing back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and we're investing in the running back position for the first time in a while. It's a slight overcorrection to things that maybe aren't the most important positions in the NFL, but you still needed upgrades there. So like, I'm fine with them spending the money on it. It's just now you have to actually get some return out of it. And so we'll see what they get in Bryce Huff. I think what's also really important to the Eagles' success is just getting more out of your young players. Like Jalen Carter showed a lot of promise in his rookie season, but I think they really need him and Jordan Davis to like step up next season and have a huge impact for their defense to take another step forward. So I think it's betting on a lot of stuff, and it's still risky, but I'm still pretty confident that Saquon Barkley is a really talented player who has ever played behind an offensive line as good as the one that Philadelphia has, even without Jason Kelce. So I think they're still going to be a really good team, but there's always going to be some risk when you go out and sign a bunch of free agents.
I'm fine with this. I mean, like, I really applaud Howie Roseman for thinking always trying to think differently. Like, I know you've mentioned before, BLG, sometimes he overthinks and whatever, but like, what's the worst that happens if he overthought it this year? And you were the one who, like, you know, kind of coined this on a mixtape, like, they don't win the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes wins it again. Like, oh no, like, nobody saw that coming. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not proposing, like, you know, zig where everybody's zagging. That's not what this is, but they have the room to do things like this. They're creative enough. And I've told you this before, in 2015, when they signed DeMarco and they traded away LeSean McCoy and they traded for Sam Bradford, like, I remember like thinking and talking about on the internet, like, oh, they're screwed for a decade. They freaking won the Super Bowl 2 years later with like a completely different cast of characters. So, you know, if it sucks, they will think their way out of it. I completely and totally believe that. And I'm so mad at the Cowboys, to make this about them, that they are so slow in free agency that I completely respect that Howie Roseman tampered with Saquon Barkley. Like, I'm so desperate for my team to be involved that I would have celebrated them if they were so anxious and tampered. So
there is a big contrast there, though, to your point, like, about you just being so frustrated, you know, especially, I mean, I feel like that has to add to it, right? As a Cowboys fan, like, just sitting on your hands, and meanwhile, the Eagles are, like, doing this fun stuff.
Well, and, like, do I think Devin White's a great player? No. Is he maybe closer to, you know, Shaquille Leonard than Levante David? Probably. But if he misses, so what? Like, you know, it could work out.
You tried, like, yeah, you seem to be giving them at least that. It's like, okay, well, at least I saw what you tried to do.
Yeah, here. Like, I'm completely down for trying. And again, maybe other fan bases don't feel that way, but I certainly do.
It's like the cake in The Simpsons. At least you tried.
I've never seen an episode.
Bart of Simpson's gif. What? Oh. What are you talking about?
Oh, I know the gif that you're. Yeah. Oh, that you're talking about. But I've never.
And then
seen
he throws it away. But like, I'm saying, like, that's like the cake, at least, that you would get for the Eagles right now. At least
I think we should do an episode on this at some point deeper in the offseason. But my only ever like experience with the Simpsons is the Fox commercials for them during like Sunday afternoons on. You know, like during.
You never game. Like accidentally watched one where sometimes, you know, like you'll be watching a late game and then it just comes on like you didn't.
No, because then it's time for Sunday Night Football.
But sometimes, like, I just feel like you could accidentally.
Why would anyone who likes football stay on the channel when there's another
football doesn't start for a little bit? And also,
I know, like, but I flipped the channel over there so that I'm ready for it.
Yeah, but if you're doing what we do, sometimes, like, I'm like tied to my laptop. I'm not.
No, because I need to. I'm on a live show. I have to be telling the audience what's happening in the Sunday night game. Like, do your job, Brandon. I mean, geez.
I am. I'm doing my job so much.
I've watched many Fox sitcoms because it was just what was on after a late afternoon window Fox game.
I've definitely watched some local news broadcasts that I haven't intended to on NBC as a result of Sunday Night Football because of the exact situation you're describing.
Okay. But you get the idea.
Yeah, the window in question just doesn't work for me. Okay, let's blitz through this. Quick ones. I'll go first. Baltimore Ravens. I don't care if they overpaid for Derrick Henry. I am such a fan of the move. If it doesn't work out, oh well. Like, I go get the Hulk to pair with the Flash. Like, it is such an awesome thing. I'm very, very excited for the Ravens.
It's too predictable.
Who cares?
No, not in a bad. I'm not in a critique. I'm just saying it's just like, it was so obvious.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I still think Derrick Henry is, I think he's better than what people have made him out to be the last couple of seasons.
Steven, blitz, go. It could be a loser, but yeah.
Well, I kind of want to talk about the NFC North, but I'm not going to go through all the teams. So I'm going to mention just the Detroit Lions really quick. I really like what the Lions have done. You know, building off that NFC championship game performance, we know that they've got an incredible amount of young talent. And I think that the Lions are going to be right back there and competitive. The biggest thing was their defense. And I think adding Marcus Davenport, adding DJ Reader and beefing up that defensive line, getting Carlton Davis, like, I feel like they've made some pretty key additions that we already know that offense is going to be elite. So I like the moves that they've made.
And they locked up Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell to contract extensions, not salary cap related, but those things matter.
Yeah, I'll stick in the NFC North real quick and just say the Packers added Xavier McKinney, who's only 24, already to a very young team, just adding on to that core. I think that's a really nice move for them. I don't know what Josh Jacobs is going to be this year, but if you're betting that he can get back, and the contract is a big bet, but if he can get anything back to what he was prior to last season, which I think might be reasonable considering just how bad last season was and how good the rest of his career has been, then also you retain AJ Dillon. I think that's like, it's a very young team that's adding some more young pieces that they're developing potentially a really nice core there.
Yeah. Okay. I love what the Packers have done. They're going to be fun next season.
The jury's still out on the Vikings, obviously. But if the rookie quarterback hits, like, to have Aaron Jones for him to come into, obviously, if they get the Justin Jefferson contract extension done, I really applaud what they're doing and what the Bears are doing in that and even what the Commanders are doing, having, we didn't mention them, but like, I know they overpaid for some people, but like, again, I like that all the, of those teams are taking advantage of the rookie quarterback contract window now. Like they're using year one, because what so many NFL teams do, and the Cowboys are the worst at this, is they plan as if the worst possible outcome is going to happen. Like, you're planning as if the player you pick is going to be a franchise quarterback. And so if that's the case, you would want to maximize the rookie quarterback contract window, which includes the, you don't need the first year to see if he isn't a franchise quarterback. You figure it out, you adjust, you adapt on the fly. So I would put all three of those teams in that box for that very reason.
I do like what the Bears have done. Let's obviously go. We still have to figure out what they're going to do. Like, I think you have to take Caleb Williams, and then I don't know if Justin Fields is going to get traded at this point. So that's still a work in progress. It does feel like, cause I've been a little hesitant to give Ryan Poles credit, cause I still think that he makes questionable decisions, like trading for Keenan Allen. Yes. Obvious upgrade. I love Keenan Allen in the mix with DJ Moore there and kind of what they're putting together in the passing game. But like, Keenan Allen's still an expensive player, and he is like going to be 33 next season. So I think it's still, it's a move that might not work out, but if he plays like he did last year, then great. You're going to get a ton of return on adding Keenan Allen. But I think some of the other free agent moves they've made are a little questionable.
Yeah, I think there could be some Darren Waller trade to Keenan Allen potential. And just in terms of that, like the end of the rope might be closer than the Bears are anticipating. Backup Eagles quarterback Justin Fields potentially on the map, apparently.
It is strange. I think we were all a little bit surprised at the running back market, and I think we were all surprised that Justin Fields hasn't been dealt yet. You know,
Sam Howell got traded. Somebody's willing to trade for Sam Howell.
No, but like,
contract's great though.
I wonder if the, like, I'm giving them a huge benefit of the doubt, or assuming the best possible case scenario for them. Because it's never felt like they were waiting for like a king's ransom offer, because that was just never going to happen, even if you are a big Fields believer. But what's the worst that happens if they draft Caleb? Like, oh, people, like, sports talk radio in Chicago has like this never ending subject all offseason. Like, oh no, you know what I mean? And so like, it's almost at this point, if they didn't get an offer that they liked, because he's not on your books for like a significant amount of money, you can decline his fifth year option. It's almost worth not hoping for somebody to get hurt, but like I brought up Sam Bradford, what the Eagles did, like, you wait. And if something happens in training camp, somebody panics and says, let's trade for Justin Fields right now. Like he may still prove to be a valuable asset that you can flip at some point. It just doesn't have to happen right now. It's not like it's illegal for him and Caleb Williams to share a locker room.
Yeah. But there is there's some of that's like Madden thinking in terms of there's human elements here in terms of the players, in terms of the agencies you're working with, and there's relationships to maintain, and that's not everything, but it's also not nothing. It is a factor in the equation at the end of the day. So I get what you're saying, but I think they're going to end up moving him at some point sooner than later, and not for a lot. I'm thinking like day three pick.
Desmond Ridder got moved before Justin Fields, not just Sam Howell.
Right. But again, Sam Howell's contract is really good because it's only like a million this year, and he has also signed through next season. So that's really good value relative to this backup quarterback market. Marcus Mariota got like $6 million or something. Like, I'd rather have Sam Howell at $1 million than Marcus Mariota at $6 million. So, yeah.
Okay. Steven, as we leave, could you please tell us that if you were closing your speech to encourage people to vote for you for vice president, what the final line would be?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Go Jets. All right, TGIF.